Today is February the 26th. My name is Joyce Johnston. I am on the Polk County Historical Commission, and I'm sitting here with Mr. J.D. Kugler, a citizen of Polk County for many, many years, and who's also a member of the Historical Commission. And he's going to share some of his memories of growing up in Livingston. So, Mr. Kugler, why don't you tell us who your parents were, maybe what year you were born, and some of your very first memories as a young child in Polk County. Maybe tell us also, were you born in a hospital or at home? And if you have any memory of being told who the doctor was, tell us that.
Well, I was born in 1923. And I was born in the, Harrison Hotel at the time. That Harrisons were my grandparents, and I was born in the hotel without a doctor. I had a midwife, it was Ms. Compton, I believe it was called. I was living on up the old Highway 35 a little bit, about a couple of blocks further up at my Kugler grandparents, in about the 400 block of South Washington now. As far as some of my very first memories that I can think of was the 1929 flood, when it flooded all of Choate Creek all the way up to about the 300 and 400 block of South Washington at the time. And so that meant that my grandparents' hotel was surrounded by water. And I remember going down there after the flood was going down on my daddy's back, walking down to see if everything was all right at the hotel. As far as some of the other memories I have is Choate Creek. I was very, very fond of Choate Creek, and I guess the reason it was so pretty for me then, the 1929 flood, I was only 6 years old. But by the time I was seven, I was playing all up and down the creek, and it was a real, real pretty creek. The 1929 flood had washed it out and cleaned all the underbrush and trash along the banks and left nice, pretty white sandbars all along the creek. Going across the Choate Creek Bridge, you could look down in the clear water and see the perch and crawfish and stuff in the bottom along the sandy bottom. And there's a soft shell turtle that usually stayed there. I like to watch him every morning or every time I crossed. And Choate Creek was my favorite of everything. I just practically lived on Choate Creek. And another place that I remember real well was the WBTNS railroad that came into town. The depot was just diagonally across the street from where I lived, and the depot agent's son and myself were the same age, and we were big buddies, and so we just played around that depot all the time and up and down the railroad tracks. Another place that I remember real well then was the tomato sheds. I think there's about four or five of them in town, but the big one was the one across the highway from the depot. It operated during tomato season. It operated 24 hours a day, and we'd hang around there. It's just like a carnival, almost much activity. During the off season, well, they would store bales of cotton there, and we played on the bales of cotton. The way they pushed them in on the shed, you could just almost get lost in between the bales playing around. Then sometimes after some of the other stuff's done, the Pentecostals had a church service there. Let's see, getting back to another thing, the streets at the time that I was about 6, 7 years old was dirt street. The Highway 135 going to Houston was just a dirt road then. I remember it as being a red clay looking with ditches on both sides, but I think they paved it about in the late 30s. They asphalted, made asphalt highway. But in 1928 or something like that, the street going through town even was a dirt road. like I say, they paid it sometime, I think around 1930, I'm not sure. Then going on up after that, you'd ask about the transportation. Well, in my early days, it's mostly T-model Fords, and then after that came the A-models. During the early part, there's a lot of wagons in town then. Farmers would bring the cotton into the gins there in wagons rather than in trucks. I don't know. I guess they didn't have the trucks then. But a lot of the farmers began to convert their wagons with regular car wheels rather than the iron rims. And that was sort of a novelty to see a wagon come in town with car wheels rather than wagon wheels. And as it grew on, and they did pave the streets through town, well, then everybody on Saturday nights would come to town because what stores we had stayed open till around 9 o'clock. And everybody wanted to come to town, see who was in town, and visit with the friends. And they were parking diagonally then. And so the traffic on the highway was getting heavy because it had been blacktopped and was becoming a pretty well-traveled highway then, trucks and cars. And it got so bad going through town that traffic couldn't hardly go through on Saturday nights. There's so much activity. I started elementary school in 1930, I believe it was. And it was at the old Alamo School up on Jackson Street, I believe it is.
Right.
In the first grade there, our classroom windows opened to the south, and they were building the water tank at that time. And I don't know, that took most of our attention rather than the teacher in those days watching them build that water tank. And then I stayed in that school until I got to the fifth grade, and then we moved to the new school that's being built out on what is now 190. But at that time, the highway didn't even go through to Huntsville then. It was another way around. So after the buildings were built, they opened the highway. It was 145, I believe, then, and built the bridge across Long Cane and went on toward Huntsville. That's where I started to junior high and then high school. During high school, there wasn't anything unusual about it. Just regular high school, I guess, but I did letter and track last 2 years, I believe, in school.
Do you know what year the Alamo was built, Mr. Kugler?
No, I'd guess about 1908 or 9, somewhere along that area.
Because that's where I started school also,
did?
And, right, and also was there until fifth grade and then moved over to the other building. Yeah. So I find that interesting because I graduated in 1960.
Well, see, I graduated in 1941.
So that was quite a few years.
A little bit different.
And they followed the same regiment of so how many kids were in your class?
I don't know. We had a large class because when I started school was the year that they changed from the seven-year-olds to six-year-olds. And so that doubled up on our class. And when we did graduate, we had the largest graduating class they'd had up until that time. So I think it's around 100 or so.
Oh, my goodness.
About 100 and something graduated that year, if I'm not mistaken.
Yeah, my goodness.
It's a big
class. That's a lot, yeah.
Well, it's 2 years really together.
I see.
So we had pretty large classes going,
yeah.
I guess, through there. Then as far as summer activities, well, mine was pretty much freedom to do what I wanted to because I worked some at Mr. Charlie Whitehead's service station, just servicing the cars, putting water in the radiator and air in the tires, about all I did.
Mm-hmm.
I think was paid maybe 10 cents an hour and got a candy bar and a Coke twice a day.
And that was wonderful.
Yeah. And on top of that, when it wasn't busy, I'd go to his house and mow his yard and pick the figs. So that kind of kept me busy. But most of the time, we just roaming the creeks, fishing, swimming, having a good time.
Yeah. How did your mom keep up with you?
Well, she didn't. Except at mealtimes. I was usually there by mealtimes.
Yeah, but she wasn't worried either, was she?
No, we didn't get in trouble then.
I bet you got in trouble.
No, I don't ever recall.
Oh, okay. You were just a good boy still.
I was a good boy. I just liked to roam the woods and have a good time.
Yeah.
Camping and fishing and stuff like that. I see.
Who were your buddies?
Well, it was the McKee boys. That's Joanne's brother. Older brothers.
Joanne Westmoreland.
Yeah.
Her brother.
Yeah, see, they lived across the street from us when it was over on the highway here. Then when we moved over on the west side of town, they moved over up side of us there. So we were neighbors up until I graduated and left home, you know. And they were big bubbies. And then I had an aunt and uncle live near us on the west side of town, and they had three boys about my age. So we all just a gang together. And so we had our clubhouses and fished, swam around on Long Cane, just had a good time growing up.
That sounds wonderful.
Getting back to some of the other things, back in those early times, we didn't have the TV to sit around and look at every day, so we had to find other things to do, you know. Mm-hmm. And say, for instance, on a cold winter night, well, we'd sit around the fireplace with a little radio, listen to Grand Ole Opera. That's about all it was to do around. Wasn't anything for kids to do around town much then.
Didn't have any. Did you have a movie theater as you got older?
Yeah, but that was usually a Saturday deal.
Just a Saturday.
Yeah. We didn't get out and roam around at night, did we?
Mm-hmm. Was it always the Fame Theater, or was there another one in town?
It was the Fame Theater for years, but I think about 1940, somewhere along there, the Texan Theater was built. And I think they were out of Lufkin that day.
Mm-hmm. Where was it?
It's near the corner of Abbey and Washington in town now. Somewhere close to that, about middle of the block.
I see. So was that theater in addition to the Fane, or was it just one going at one time?
I believe it might have been in addition for a short while, but I think the Fane went out of business for a while before they built the other one down where it is now. But the one in town was on up, I believe it was next door to where H.B. Davis's was.
Oh, okay.
And that was the first one we had there. Of course, when I first started going in, it was mostly silent films, too. I'm beginning to get the talking, but it's mostly silent then.
Do you remember the first time you went?
No, but I can remember one time in particular when later on, when Bill Nesbitt and myself, he was my buddy across the street from me. His dad had the depot there. And we went to see King Kong. And first time King Kong came on the movie film and big right at, you know, looking, Bill got up and run out. He came back in later.
Yeah, I bet you teased him about that.
Oh, yeah. Can you think of anything yet?
Well, when we were talking about education, you didn't talk about any of your teachers. Did you have a favorite teacher?
Well, I'd say in the first grade, I believe Miss Fanny Andrews might have been along about that time. And then, they were all pretty well favorites, I guess, all the way up through elementary school there. And in the fifth grade, Miss Emma Haynes was my favorite. Mm-hmm. And she was really a rough one, but she was a good one, and we all enjoyed her.
Uh-huh. Did she help get you interested in history?
Yes.
Because she's quite a historian.
She had a lot to do with it. And I might say that's the only paddling they ever got in school, too.
So you were mischievous.
But she was still my favorite. And I'll tell you why that came about. We were just starting in band practice, and we had been in band practice before her class, and we were running a little bit late, and there's about five or six of the boys that was in the band that was in her class, and I could name them all, but I won't go into it now. But when we started back in, one of the boys ran across the hall to the class. He was running a little late. And so when we got in class, you want to know who was at this running across that hall making all that noise. No one would tell on him, see. And he wouldn't speak up either. So she lined us all up in the cloakroom and gave every one of us a palace. So, well, I was justified for it. I wasn't the one that run, but I know who did run.
But you weren't.
He was a well-known boy here in town, too.
You're dying to tell us, Mr. Kugler. I want to know when we shut the machine off. Okay. Oh, goodness. Well, in high school, do you remember a favorite teacher, somebody that had good...
Mr. Adams, B.C. Adams, was the math teacher. I enjoyed him. He was pretty good. And then there was Mr. Warner, I believe was his name, was teaching physics and all, and liked him real well. Miss Annie-Kate McCardle, I liked her. She was history. That's about the main ones, I think.
Yeah, that's amazing. Yeah. You can remember all those teachers. Did you always know what you wanted to do when you grew up?
I think I determined that probably when I was about 7 or 8 years old.
Oh, really?
I had an aunt that was an art teacher, and she was living in the house with us at my grandparents' place, and she taught here, actually, and I believe I had her. I don't recall. I didn't have her so much at home. I don't remember whether I had her school, too, or not.
Yeah.
But anyhow, she kind of talked to me in the terms of being an architect and that kind of stuff, because she knew I was getting pretty good at art. And I think that's where I kind of determined it.
What were the main religions when you were growing up? Talk about it in terms of churches that...
Well, we went to First Baptist. That's about it. I wasn't the most active, but I did go.
Right. Okay. I
think Ms. Birchfield was my Sunday school teacher at that time.
Some of the stores on Main Street when you were a kid.
Well, let's see. Starting at the intersection of Main and, I call it Main instead of Washington.
I do too.
Going north, it was a... started off with a drugstore, and I don't recall the name of the drugstore at that particular time. It changed time too. Then going on up the street a little further, at one time there's a store about halfway the block that Mr. Holloman had a fruit and vegetable store there. And then further up was Mr. Ray Brock's barbershop. Mm. And then going on up was the drugstore. After the drugstore was the bank, and then the Fane Theater, and then H.B. Davis. Then on up on the other block, Perry Brothers was on the corner there. It was built when I was a little boy. And then on up further was the Fair Store, which was dry goods. Then after that was Tom Fitz's store. And I really don't know what all he had. Just a little wooden building there, mm-hmm. And I never did, go in that, and I don't know.
Would that store have been where the Abercrombie store was?
I don't recall Abercrombie.
Marvin Abercrombie.
Was that the grocery store over on the other side of the street?
On the other side.
I think it was next to where Whiz and Hunt's was on the corner there.
No, it was across. It was on the other side, across from Whiz and Hunt.
And at one time there was a grocery store there at Gleason Watts, I believe, ran one. And that might have been the store that he had later. I don't know.
What lot did we have any... sizable grocery stores other than little individually owned stores?
Brookshire was the first one of any size, but it was all down on Abbey. Not Abbey, but 190 now. Mm-hmm. And I might add that building right on the corner of Main Street and 190 on the northeast corner was where they refer to it as Davison Building now, I believe. when my grandparents moved in town in 1917, he had a restaurant in that building also. And on Main Street then was a Ford company. I don't remember all the, later on the Ferris store was over on that side. Mistral built his building there, but there's a vacant lot in there between there and the corner. And then the old wooden Chandler building was on the corner, Mr. Chandler. The old man had that store. But that vacant lot between them was used for people. Like on Saturday, there's a Mr. Schultz, I believe was his name, came from from Houston with a load of vegetables, not vegetables, but fruit and stuff that we didn't have up here very much. And he did big business by just parking there. Odds and ends, coming to town one time, there's a fella came in with a trailer with a little whale in a tank of embalming stuff. For people to look at for a nickel a dime, whatever they charge, to come in and look at that dead whale in there. And then a time or two, another little mobile restaurant came in there, having poor boys, I believe. And just mostly the thing. But I might say over on the other corner, where the hardware store was on the corner, was a vacant lot. And then when J. Doug Morgan shows came to town, that's where they put the tent up over there, and on that vacant lot, and that was a big attraction. That was a vaudeville type show.
Did you and your family do any traveling when you were a youngster?
Yes. 1929, I believe it was, something like that. The whole family went to Colorado, including my on my grandparents' Harrison side, my granddaddy and two or three of the families all went in a caravan up there. And I have some old pictures of that. That's pretty good. I vaguely remember that because I was only about six years old then. But a little bit later, right after that, we went out to West Texas in 1926. We went out there. And I had an aunt and uncle that was working on a ranch out there, and we went out to visit them. And it was my dad's family, myself and my little sister, mother and dad, and aunt and uncle, and three or four cousins. Anyhow, they all went in one car out there. It was a real nice trip. I have pictures of that also, and that was quite a deal. That was pretty early to go out in West Texas,
I guess. So what kind of vehicle?
It was an old Dodge nine-passenger car, I believe they called it. And my Uncle Harrison Davis ran the Dodge dealership. And he told my dad that he would furnish the car if he would drive us out there. So we had a brand-new car right off his lot. And we went out there, and then, of course, when we got back, I guess it was cleaned up and went back on the floor.
the odometer was cleaned.
Yeah. But it was a nice trip. Pretty rugged trip, too, I might say.
Do you remember any big community events that happened during your youth? Just one or two? Did you have?
Yep, and I don't have too much details on it, but when the natural gas was put into Livingston, they had a big street dance at the intersection of 190 and Main Street, and they had some gas burning, you know, flares up over the street and all, celebrating it. And that was one of the first big events I remember. And then when Jackson Street was paved just north of 190, well, they had a big city street dance there on the pavement before the street was open to celebrate that. When I was a real small boy, about 7, 8 years old, I guess, well, the city had a city barbecue on, I guess it's 4th of July, and it was in the southwest part of town. I know exactly where it was. They had a big pit dug in the ground with the wire over it and all. They barbecued a lot of meat there, and the whole town turned out for it. And so I think that's the main street events, I mean city events.
Yeah.
I don't recall any in particular.
Well, I guess that if a family had a big event, other families just joined in, probably.
Yes. Mm-hmm. And we always had big dinners and all at Thanksgiving, planting things like that, and the whole family. There'd be a bunch of kids there then.
So you grew up with cousins?
Oh, I had lots of them, but I don't have any now.
Oh.
I have one, I think.
Uh-huh. But cousins...
Well, I have two, one in Dallas and one here.
Yeah. Cousins are pretty special, aren't they?
Yeah. But when I was growing up, man, Granddaddy's place at the Harrison Hotel, I might say also that Harrison Hotel was the original Bergman Hospital.
Oh.
Yeah, what was called the Bergman Sanitarium, and then my granddaddy bought it and converted it into a hotel.
Mm-hmm.
And I might also add at that time, across the street was another hotel, Dr. Denham, and it was a... A lot of people don't realize we had that one over there, too. It was a doctor, and he would keep his patients in the house with him there, a big two-story house. And in front of that house was a great big yard that went all the way down to Schultz Creek, mm-hmm. and he kept it cleaned off real nice. And when medicine shows would come to town, that's where they used to set up in his yard.
In his yard.
Yeah. And,
well, Mr. Kugler, this has been really fun for me. It's been neat to watch you bring out a really big smile when you're talking about your memories. So I know that there's that you had a very enjoyable childhood here. And
yeah.
We appreciate you sharing that with us.
Okay.
And we'll get back to you later. And thank you for your time today.
Okay, thank you.